Good morning. We are talking about prayer this month for reasons you've already heard. Thursday is Unity's World Day of Prayer. Unity was founded on prayer and especially praying for others. Silent Unity is still the largest segment of Unity worldwide. 2 million calls and letters and emails every year are answered live. So for World Day of Prayer, you may submit names, as Sherry was telling you. You can watch the ceremonies live online, streaming worlddayofprayer.org. Because it feels good to pray for other people, doesn't it? It's almost reflexive. As soon as we know somebody is sick or in trouble, we get them on prayer lists. I get several requests a week from friends who are not in Unity. And here at the church, we have our prayer team, our prayer box. Most of us believe prayer works, even if we couldn't say exactly how. So when I started this series 2 years ago, 2 weeks ago, I said that prayer becomes more confusing after we realize that we are divine beings and we are the creators of our own experience. We create with our thoughts. And it makes praying for others confusing too, I think, because now we know everyone is creating his or her own experience. They're creating their lives with their thoughts, with their beliefs and fears and desires and soul plans, and we can't change that for them, even when we see them hurting. We can't override their consciousness with ours. So why pray for them? So first, let it be okay that we cannot create in someone else's experience. Because really, would you want someone else to have the power to pray something into or out of your life? Years ago, I found out my mother was praying for me to have a husband when I did not want to get married again. Thank you. So we can't know what's best for another person, and that's very important to remember when we're praying for them. In fact, that's why we often say not to pray for specific outcomes. We can ask. Jesus said, ask and it's given. We can express preferences. But prayers for someone's highest and best good may be really all we can do. So why pray at all? Well, it kind of depends on what you think prayer is. We know the kind of prayer we don't want to do anymore, the begging and beseeching and basically worrying out loud. We don't want prayer to become a time of focusing on the problem, giving it energy, because we know that what we hold in consciousness shows up in our lives. So the more time we can spend in positive, affirmative thought, the better. Affirmative prayer is when we remember that all is well. We're not focused on what we lack or need or think should happen. But what is prayer? I believe prayer, this is my opinion today, okay? I believe prayer is moving energy with thought. It is not asking God out there to take some action down here. It's using the power of our thought to create our lives and support other people in creating theirs. So, for example, if a friend is sick, your prayers move healing energy to them. If they are open and receptive to getting well, your prayers then bolster their intentions. But if they've made a soul choice that it's time to leave the planet, your prayers won't keep them alive. They're creating their experience. Their highest good. That's my belief today. I'm not sure that's official unity, but official unity was founded on the power of prayer and the creative power of thought. All thoughts are prayers because all thoughts go into creating our experience. We're always living within the law of mind action, or nowadays it's called the law of attraction, whether we know it or not. So prayer is the time we spend in focused, conscious thought so that we can create deliberately using the law. You might not call it prayer anymore. You might be calling it affirmations. You might call it meditation to align with oneness. You could just call it science. There are a lot of experiments going on to gauge the power of focused group thought. It has been nearly 20 years since that group of 3,000 or 4,000 transcendental meditators lowered the crime rate in Washington, D.C. by nearly half. More recently, Lynn McTaggart has organized intention experiments through the internet. When I met her a few years ago, I said her scientific thought experiment sounded a lot like prayer to me. She smiled tolerantly. There have been a lot of studies on the effects of praying for others, and it's kind of a mixed bag of results. I think it's hard to measure the effects of prayer if all thoughts are prayers, because all thoughts have creative power. I also don't believe that prayer studies change anybody's mind, and most people would insist that prayer works. There are even groups of children who've prayed for one batch of seeds and not prayed for the other to see if these prayed for seeds would grow better, and they did. Prayer is moving energy with our thoughts. What we're thinking in prayer, then, is more important than the words we say. Although next week we're going to talk about praying out loud and talk about the words we can use to language our new concepts about prayer. But what we're thinking is especially important if we recognize thoughts have creative power. We are not imploring a supreme being to reach down and save someone or change a situation. It's all about what we hold in consciousness. And I'll tell you who does this well: our friends in religious science. Unity and religious science, you may know this, are under the same umbrella called New Thought, which is a spiritual movement that developed in the United States in the 1800s. Unity was first. It was incorporated in 1889. And then religious science came from a man named Ernest Holmes in the 1920s. We have very similar teachings, especially about working with divine law. Ernest Holmes called it the science of mind. Religious science churches recently changed their name to Centers for Spiritual Living, but they still practice the science of mind, and they train lay people to be, they call them practitioners, for what they call prayer treatment, like a medical treatment. It's a prayer treatment. Their practitioners are kind of a cross between Unity's chaplains and licensed Unity teachers. Practitioners mainly pray with people, and they have very specific steps in doing so. And for me, their philosophy behind prayer explains it better than I can about this idea of praying for others by shifting our own consciousness. So as it happens, we have a practitioner from the Centers for Spiritual Living with us every week, Kit Holmes. It has never occurred to me to ask, are you any relation to Ernest?
I want to make sure this is on first. The short answer to that question is yes, because we're all one.
Oh, fine, fine. Anyway, I asked Kit to take a few minutes to talk to us about the science of mind view of prayer and prayer treatments.
Indeed. And when I say we're all one, we have this uncanny, we do not send memos to each other about what we're
wearing. Alike.
We don't.
Nearly every week.
We don't.
It's scary.
So the practitioner training program and the basis of all of the teaching of science of mind comes in around spiritual mind treatment. And the training is, there are five what they call very specific steps, although when you're doing it, you're not like, okay, did I get the first one right? Really, what, as Reverend Ellen said, it is a shift in consciousness, and all you are doing is realigning yourself with the truth of who you are. So the first step of that prayer, and as a professional practitioner, as a licensed practitioner, what I would do for you if I were praying for you and you called on me and said, this is what's going on in my life, the bottom line is basically, I'm reminding you of who you are. That's it. I mean, that's the simplest form. The first step is recognition, which is you center yourself in whatever method through meditation, and the first step is, I recognize there is one power, one presence. We say it every Sunday here, that God is in and through everything. There ain't nothing else but God. The second step is unification, saying, I am that. That God, all of that God is in me. I am not the all of God, but the all of God is in me. It moves through me. It exists and expresses as me. The third part is where you get to the heart of the matter, where you don't focus on the condition. And that's number one rule in the training is, turn away from the condition entirely. What do you want? That's the step. what do you want? And you put it in the present tense because in the one mind, it already exists. The truth of you exists, the spirit of you, the rightness, the correct answer is already available. We are just aligning with it. And you state it in the present tense specifically. If I'm praying for you, I will not say to you in first person, I will not say, Tim is this, da 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 da, or Tim wants to be. It is, I know that he is, fill in the blank of whatever, that quality that's that of Spirit of God. He is truth, he is wholeness, he is peace, you are. We say it that way. The fourth step is thanksgiving, because what do we know? It's already there and it's done. It's thank you. It's here, it's now. And the fifth step and the most important step is to let it go. You don't hang on to it. You say, I know. If I'm saying I know it's already done, I'm not going to go back and pull up the plant to see if it's growing. I'm not going to pull it out of the ground, okay? So that's the shortest form that I can give you. It's an entire study, of course, but it is a scientific, and that was what Ernest Holmes used, was a scientific way of proving what God is and that it exists and that it is in all of us. I hope that helps.
So the consciousness shift is going on in you.
It is going on. I'm not changing your mind at all. I can't. I can't, you know, as much as we all like to think we can read other people's minds, no. It is my consciousness that I am shifting. I am stating the fact that because we are all in one mind, I can do that. I'm aware. I'm in this moment. I'm saying I am going to align myself with this and know the truth about you.
Right.
And the truth is you are whole, perfect, complete, fill in the blank.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Isn't that a comforting idea that someone else, even if I'm scared or sick or unconscious for that matter, someone else can align themselves with the truth and know my wholeness and oneness? It's affirming the truth for them, knowing their wholeness, and then moving energy to support their intentions. I think that's what Jesus was doing when he healed people, looking past appearances and seeing them whole. Knowing the truth of their being bolsters their intentions. It can be done at a distance. Sometimes that's easier because you don't have the appearance of sickness in your face. Jesus did some healing at a distance. You can also do it without someone's knowledge. Pray for them. Know the truth for them. But remember, you're still not creating in their experience. Jesus said, "Your faith has made you well." And I think there's a lot we still don't know about the relationship of healer and healed, or prayer and prayed for, except that divine love is at work. So we affirm divine love in prayer, highest good. But if prayer isn't specific, then how do you know it's been answered? I think one way is to believe that whatever happens is the highest and best, at least for now. And that doesn't mean all suffering will be relieved. Someone may stay sick or die. Someone may keep drinking and drugging. Someone may not find a job or have money. Whatever we think they should have at the level of our egos may not be the highest and best for their soul's growth. But what we're seeing in their lives is divine order, which is often a misunderstood phrase. Divine order doesn't mean everything's hunky-dory. It means everything is working according to the law. So their thoughts, beliefs, desires, soul plans are creating their experience, even if it's not what we would choose for them. But here's the thing. We only judge good and bad at the level of personality. And we've talked a lot lately about those times when we can reach a level of consciousness where we experience love and oneness, where we see the world and other people through the eyes of the divine, our own divinity. And from that level, everything is perfect. Have you ever experienced those moments of clarity when you can still see that someone is sick or broke or in trouble? You feel compassion for them and you know that all is well. That eventually those we love will see they are already whole, perfect, and complete, just as we see them when we look through the eyes of love. So here is the most comforting way I know to pray for others. It's using the five principles as a checklist. Unity's five basic principles, which are on the back of your bulletin if you have one. Our ancient spiritual teachings, we do not claim they're exclusive to unity. Principle 4 is about the power of prayer. But the first three principles tell us how to pray, or more accurately, how to shift our consciousness into awareness and understanding of divine right order so that we know all is well. So principle 1, God is all there is, present everywhere. There is no spot where God is not. There is no situation without God in the midst of it. So whatever we perceive is happening to the people we love, God is there with them. And God is shorthand for a force of love and creative intelligence that governs the universe. Principle 2, all human beings are made in God's image. We are divine. We are spiritual beings having a human experience. Our prayers for other people are nearly always about the human experience. We volunteer for it and then we complain about it pretty much throughout. But the person you're praying for is divine, is absolutely part of God and all that is, never separate from the creator source of the universe. In other words, the person you're praying for has his or her own hotline to God. Even children. They are just as connected as you are. Our job in praying for them is to see their divinity, know their wholeness, know the truth of their being, even if they've lost sight of it for a while. And third principle is we are each the creators of our own experience. And the important part of that is we can't know the experience others need to have for their soul's growth. Of course we hate it when people we love are hurting, and we want God to make it stop. But we can't know what's best, and we can't override their experience. So we surround them with love and prayer energy that supports whatever soul work they are doing. And we affirm their highest and best is unfolding, even if we can't see it from where we stand. Principle 5 is about action, putting feet on our prayers. Is there something to do for this person? You can ask in prayer to be guided about that. Prayer is a loving and powerful way to serve each other. And when we pray, we know the truth of unlimited possibilities, and we see those people we love rocked in the arms of God. So let's take these thoughts into meditation.
So I know that God is all there is. In and through, above and below. We breathe that knowing. We breathe it in. We let it swirl around us. We open to that idea. We open now further to that idea that God is all there is. And I know that in that God presence, every one of us lives and moves and has our being within it, as it. And in this moment of knowing that, aligning myself with that consciousness, I know too, for each and every person in this room right now, right here, in this community, in this town, on this hill, and on as the circle continues infinitely growing, including everyone on this planet, in this universe and beyond. And I know that in this moment, that in that knowing, God, that is all that there is, and that we are of it, we are it. There is a perfect right order. And that order is here, and it is right now. Regardless of appearances, we turn away from the appearance of any lack or limitation, any illness, any disharmony in any portion, any part of our lives. And we look at what is, which at its heart is just love. And that is at the heart of each of every one of us. And that love is here and it is present right now. And it is good. And it is very good. And I know that for each and every person in this room right now, that opening, that divine push, that inspiration is present and moves each of us forward into a greater expression of that love. And I know this right now is so good and very, very good, and I just give thanks. I give such great thanks to know that the truth is here. It is always available to us in every moment. And I release this word now to the action of law, knowing that as I do so, there is nothing else for me to do but rest in knowing that it is all good. And I release and I let go and I say thank you and I say, and so it is. And anchor this with me by singing the Alleluia.